You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yeah, well, urban foraging, I guess, is something which is unique for this year's event. It's the fifth annual wine and food celebration and hosted by New Zealand Food and Wine School. So the part that we're involved is with urban foraging, and that's, I guess, foraging is kind of like a new word, I suppose, but it's something in terms of Māori culture. We never ever termed it as being foraging. It was just a way of actually being able to supplement the table, if you like. As a child growing up, I can remember my mum and my dad taking us out to look for food, because we had a big family, and we would go into some farmer's paddocks where they were growing turnips, and it wasn't to grab the turnips or to get the turnips, but just to get the turnip tops, which my mum used to cook up. And we'd go to other places as well, looking for watercress, looking for puha, going into the lakes for eels, and we used to trout fish, otherwise mainly in, I guess, in rural places. There was sort of like a bit of a trade of food between households. And if I was growing something in my garden, you'd trade with something else that you didn't have, with a relative or a neighbour. And if someone went out hunting, then they also brought back the produce and would share it amongst the community. Mm. Nowadays, we look at it and we call it foraging, but, you know, I think every culture forage for food at one time or another. And so with this weekend going on, it is a foraging weekend, so part of the workshop is taking people out and looking at what types of food that you may be able to find localised, within a certain area.
Mm.
And there's lots there.
Well, I like that you raised that point about the word foraging, because there's also in the information of the event, it sort of says you're hosting a guided walk of culinary discovery to find edible delicacies, which sounds very exciting, but the way you're sort of talking about it is a way of life, and really we should be, you know, operating in that way, right? Sharing, knowing what is around us, understanding what is there, and being able to use that in a sort of sustainable way.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, it's something that I still do today, and it's a practice that I do with my family, you know. Even today, we go out looking for different types of foods, and I guess the seasons actually is what determined what you would actually be gathering. And if you're in tune enough with the seasons, you'll know what to expect and what's coming. And it's an old way, an old principle, which Māori people operated anyway, even in the past, you know, like the indicators to the seasons were things that they saw in the environment, where we know the flowering of different plants were indicators of the seasons. And we have clematis or puawananga, when that appears, you know that that there's puha around at that time, though puha does grow throughout the winter as well. But there are other indicators as well, which actually tells you what else is around at that period of time.
So what do you think you will be able to find during this event, and what will you make from it?
Well, you're guaranteed to find a puha, but the little place that we're going to go to has got a little bit of forest on it anyway. And so we're going to go into the forest environment as well to look at what we could actually find. And when we're looking at that kind of situation or that kind of environment, things like mamaku, which is the black tree fern, you can eat the new shoot of that, the koro, which was peeled and steamed. Also used for medicinal purposes as well. You will also find niko, the young shoots, berito, which you can remove from a young niko plant without actually hurting it. Once they mature and they start forming a trunk, then it's best not to touch them unless you're actually in dire straits. You've also got a moku, which produces the shoot pickle pickle. And now it's sort of like a food. Nowadays you see a lot of delicatessens selling it as part of the, you know, they're preserved. But when I was growing up, we used to go out and harvest them. And my dad would cook pickle up with different meats and potatoes and kumaras and that type of thing. Yeah. So sort of like, you know, but on the day of that that event, we're having a few, I guess, ethnic delicacies, if you like. So we've got the toroi mussels and water preserved in seawater. We're having mullet and puha preserved in seawater as well. We're also having hangi muttonberg. Hangi is something which is unique to New Zealand, though it is done throughout the Pacific as well, but in terms of Aotearoa, hangi is something which belongs to us as Kiwis, as New Zealanders. So on that day, we're actually having hangi muttonberg, or titi.
Yum.
And that's going to be stirred on top of Rewana Christine. We're having hangi pork belly on top of a kumara mash. We're having hangi pureed buttercup and cauliflower with Rewana bread. And Rewana bread has also got the potato yeast in it as well. So, you know, it's a bit of everything. Everything that we, you know, like I guess on the foraging trip, we're just going out to look at what's out there and what is possible to eat out of the forest environment or in an urban situation. You know, because even though we live in Auckland, there are forested areas throughout Auckland, you know, within the cities and the parks, where there's a possibility of actually food being found. But I just want to say that one of the things, I guess, when you are foraging, because I've often seen it on the sides of roads where people are actually picking watercress out of drains, and that's not a wise thing to do, you know, because the fumes of cars are blowing over the over what you're potentially going to eat, and so you're best to go to areas which are clean and pollution-free, if you like, from vehicles, but also, you know, waterways as well, clean waterways. But, yeah, so especially if you're feeding your family. So you wouldn't want to get them contaminated.
That's right.
Yeah.
This sounds awesome, and I am so ready for a feed. But can I just ask, how important is it to be sharing this knowledge?
Well, I think it's actually knowledge which has been always been around anyway, you know. And I guess, you know, in modern days, we don't rely on those resources anymore because we can go to Pack and Save or to a dairy and buy a can of food. But I know certainly in a lot of the rural areas, people still operate like that, where they are actually going out and providing for their families, and they're looking for food, and I guess to provide, to supplement, you know, and as things get more expensive, I guess, yeah, and some of the rural families are quite large, like it was for me when I was growing up, and, you know, like, it's about passing on that knowledge so that, you know, your kids pick it up and then they pass it on to their kids, like it was passed on to us, you know. But, I mean, you know, like, you got other things like, you know, kaikatea, which is, you know, is one of our, well, it is our tallest growing native tree. But the berries from that in season are edible. A lot of the coprosmas, the karamu, that's edible. And we've got tataramo, which is the... sumptuous, it's tataramo. I'm just trying to think of the Latin name for that. But anyway, that's also an edible. It has edible berries as well. So you've got, you know, there's lots of foods out there which are edible. But just knowing what to eat, the puha that we eat today, you know, it's which is commonly known as puha, is an introduced plant. But the native puha, Sanctus kirkii, well, then that's actually, it's a coastal plant. And it grows and looks completely different to what we call today, you know, that we commonly call today is puha. But the tataramo, which I was just saying, yeah, it's a rubus species. It's like a blackberry. It's the same family as a blackberry. And it has little berries, like blackberries. They're berries a little bit earlier than what we know as blackberry, but the berries are very, very sweet. And, most people, I don't know, if a lot of people still go out blackberry hunting today. Again, it was something that we were brought up with, having to go out as kids so we could get 50 cents from my grandmother, and 50 cents per jar.
And
my grandmother would make jam and blackberry pudding and that type of thing. Yeah. So it's not, when you're foraging, it's not always foraging for native produce or plants. You're also looking to introduce species as well, like Cape gooseberry, kupara, which is the Māori name for that. That's still eaten, so there is lots of different things out there, lots of different ferns you can eat. Watercress as well, which is quite common, called fitifiti. That's all over the place, and in some of them clean waterways. So we're looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to having a good time with the people that come along.
95 BFM podcasts. 95 BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B card at 95bfm.com/signup. And support independent media from $4.20 a month.